seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll go and direct you to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and the verse 32. Matthew chapter 6, verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. This verse is found in part of the Sermon on the Mount preached by the dear Lord Jesus. And never man spake like this man. Oh, the ministry of the dear Lord Jesus was a simple and yet faithful ministry. And one often feels what a mercy it is to have the simple truth set before us, such as in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. But this 32nd verse seemed to so rest upon me, thinking of the service this afternoon, and I trust the Lord will help me to look into it a little. He begins by saying, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He had named, and I will just read it to you, these things. He says, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet, and yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? And then he says, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. And, you know, that's a very searching word, because when Jesus spoke it, the Gentiles were regarded as those that knew not the Lord, that were ignorant of the truth, and all they sought for was temporal things. What they were going to eat, what they were going to drink, what they were going to be clothed with. And really, you know, those that know not the Lord are exactly the same today. Generally, man, by nature, all they think about is what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, and what they're going to be clothed with. Whereas, the real child of God should be, and will be, if we are really exercised, firstly concerned with our souls. He says, doesn't he, in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This should be, and may it be so, with each of us, our occupation from this hour onwards, seeking first the kingdom of God. And if we do seek first the kingdom of God, he's promised that all these things shall be added unto you. And really, it's a wonderful, comprehensive promise, isn't it? To them that seek first the kingdom of God. It may be there are things that trouble you in providence today, trouble you concerning the future, trouble you in the family, trouble you in body. But what do we seek first? All these things, he says, shall be added unto you. The Lord will wonderfully grant everything that the child of God has need of. But I particularly wanted to look at this latter part, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Well, firstly, your heavenly Father. You know, if we truly fear the Lord, we have a heavenly Father. And what is the position of a father naturally? One of the things concerning a father should be to supply the need of his family in every way as helped. Think about it spiritually. Your heavenly Father. You know, if we truly fear the Lord, we have a heavenly Father in heaven that supply every need that the real child of God needs. And it's wonderful to feel that we have this heavenly Father. But let me come low. Do we desire that the Lord may be our Heavenly Father? Have we the desire that this God that rules heaven above is our Heavenly Father? Can we say with the hymn writer, my God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine, may I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. Is that your desire this afternoon, child of God? Because if it is, you've got a Father in heaven to supply all you need. Not just for one day or one hour or one year or one month or whatever it may be, but all your journey through. For your heavenly Father. And remember who spoke this, as I said at the commencement. The dear Lord Jesus himself. He ever delighted to do the will of his Father in heaven. I delight, he says, to do thy will, O my God. It was his soul's delight to do the will of his Father in heaven. And here he speaks to his dear children, for your heavenly Father. What a confirming word it would be to the seeking, longing soul this afternoon if the Lord were to tell you this, for your heavenly Father. You may say, well, I'm so unworthy. You'll feel it as we looked at this morning. To have such a heavenly Father that knows all that you need. Your heavenly Father. And do you not desire, and do I not desire, to know more and more of dealings with their heavenly Father? In all things, And he deals with his dear children, you know, looking at it naturally. A real father will ever be concerned of the welfare of his children and their need, and he'll do all he can to supply it. But those children like communion with their father, or should do, to be able to converse with him, and in trouble to go to him, and in need to go to him, or whether it be for direction or for guidance or for help or whatever it may be. And look at it far greater so spiritually. In going to our Heavenly Father, we're going to one that knows all that we need before we even ask or even think. But don't be like the professor of religion and say, well, our Heavenly Father knows all we need, so we needn't do this and we needn't do that. Think of it in another sense. He said, I will be inquired of by the house of Israel, that is his dear children, to do these things for them. I've heard people say, oh, well, we needn't pray because we've got a Heavenly Father. He knows our need, but he will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. Pray if thou canst or canst not speak. There's so many gracious exhortations, isn't there, in the Holy Word of God. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. Cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Bring everything to God in prayer. For your Heavenly Father knoweth. He knoweth. He knows the great need of every one of us here this afternoon. Before you even ask or even think, he knoweth. Think of what dear Job said in all his trouble. He was enabled to say this. But he, the Lord, knoweth the things that I need. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. But he knoweth. And he knows just how you feel, child of God. Oh, he does. And he knows those inmost feelings of your heart. You may not be able to express them, but he knows exactly how you feel. And he knows all what you need. Think of what we sing sometimes in that beautiful hymn. My every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. For your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So what is your need this afternoon, child of God? Well, let me name just a few of them. If we're in deep need, we need the Lord to appear for us, don't we? And we need him to supply that need. You think of that beautiful word that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. And he could write it from experience because he knew what it was to have tasted it, handled it and felt it. And what was it? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But my God. And he could look back, the dear apostle, and see how the Lord had supplied his need. Firstly, in providence. You know, it's wonderful to look back and see how the Lord has supplied our need, even in a providential way, isn't it? We know in these days in which we live, there's not the need that there was in our forefathers' days. I remember when I was a little boy, you know, we were only allowed to have butter on our bread for certain things, if we had jam or cheese or various things. And it was because our parents couldn't afford it. And we live for the most part in this day, a day of plenty. But, you know, they were so dependent, our godly forefathers, upon the Lord for their daily food, they were. And that is why we read together that beautiful chapter concerning Elijah. Oh, you think how the Lord knew what he needed at the brook Cherith, and he knew how to feed him. It wasn't in a way that man would have thought, or that carnal man would have thought, that the Lord would feed him there at the brook Cherith, was it? What did the Lord do? He sent the ravens from heaven to feed him. Oh, he did. He knew what Elijah needed, and he sent the water for him to drink from the brook. And he sent the ravens with the bread and flesh in the morning and then again in the evening to supply the dear man's need. You know, we may sit at the meal table, we may say the grace, but do we really have a thankful heart to the Lord for it? I could give you many illustrations over the years I've been in the ministry of some of the old saints throughout this land that have told me how the Lord has supplied their need in times of great need, just as Elijah was, you see. You think how this country would stand if we didn't have rain for 3 years and 6 months like they did in Elijah's day. Everything would be parched up and die, wouldn't it? Sometimes I wonder whether the Lord will send such things because of the sin of the nation. You know, if the Lord withholds a thing, the nation will feel it. He did in Elijah's day, didn't he? But the Lord, in all that, supplied the need of his dear children, even in times where there was nothing for others to eat. He supplied the need. And then what about when the brook dried up? What was the dear man to do then? The Lord knew. The Lord knew when to dry that brook up. And the Lord knew what was to come with Elijah. And he gives him sweet commandment, doesn't he? The word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Clear command. You know, that's what I love so about these Old Testament characters. They had things so clear. You know, well, I don't know who you are, but so often today we seem to struggle along in the dark, don't we? But You know, the Lord wonderfully gave them clear direction. And what does he do? And dwell there. Why? Because the Lord was to supply his need there. And we read this, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain me. There to sustain me. Those of you that came to the reception we had on our golden wedding will know that I spoke a little of how the Lord had supplied our need. And I should never forget when we moved to Ashwell and had a big mortgage, and I had to work because the church at that time paid me £12.50 a week, and in those days that wouldn't hardly cover the mortgage. But you know, the Lord gave me these words. I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. And you know, all those years while our children were small, there was this dear widow woman that lived in Kent. I won't name her. She's been in glory a long time now. But you know, every time we were in need, and I didn't have to say a word, and she hadn't got the telephone, so I couldn't phone her. But every little while, there would be this envelope came, and in it was money with my love. And it was always the amount that we needed. I have commanded the widow woman to sustain me. And that dear widow woman wasn't very wealthy really. But the Lord laid it in her heart to do it, you see. And many times I wept when I opened it. The Lord supplying the need, you see. And look at Elijah. Here, this dear widow woman hadn't got much, did she? She said he would make of the cake and eat it, her and her son, and then die, the bread. That's all she had, but you look how wonderfully the Lord supplied the need. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal and a barrel, and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make for me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until that day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Oh, you think of that beautiful promise. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And he knew the need of dear Elijah, didn't he? And you look how he supplied it. The barrel of meal, you know, one of the old preachers used to say this. And I've never forgot it. He said, you know, the Lord didn't say the barrel of meal would always be full. He said, sometimes you have to scrape the bottom of it. But it had never run dry. Nor the cruse of oil fail. until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Oh, you think how wonderfully the Lord supplied the need of that dear man. And he can do it today. Oh, he can. We hope to sing at the close of how the Lord supplied the need of dear Elijah. And you see, he can do that today. Now, I commence with that within a providential way, but many will say, well, we don't want just a providential religion, and that is true in many ways, but listen, providence and grace unite. You think of the exercise there must have been in the heart of Elijah in this, and it was heart exercise in it all. And so often the Lord blesses these dear people when they are brought into these, we may say, extremities. But they're not extremities with the Lord, but they are often with us, aren't they? For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need. And what is your need this afternoon? Do you not need a blessing in your soul? How many times do you say, Lord, do come and bless me. And as the Lord blesses you in providence, may he bless us in grace. When you look back at those godly forefathers, many that went through this sanctuary, and you know, they were dependent upon the Lord for their daily food, for their clothing, for their drink. And they were dependent upon him. They lived so near the Lord that he wonderfully blessed their souls. What with? Pardon, peace, his presence, tokens of his love. He opened the windows of heaven to them. And oh, that we might know a little of that in our own souls. For your heavenly Father knoweth. And then, do we not need the Lord to pardon all our iniquities, all our sins? Think of the dear woman that I named this morning in the house of Simon the Pharisee. The Lord knew what she needed. And he knew how she'd come as a penitent sinner, a repenting sinner to his dear feet. And he was to supply that need and give her pardon, and she could go to her house in peace. And then you think of the dear publican. Oh, the Pharisee got no time for him at all, had he? Full of his own religion. But the poor publican who smote upon his breast, all the trouble was within him, you see. The need was within him. He needed the Lord to have mercy upon him. Think of that beautiful verse, mercy through blood I make my plea. Oh God, be merciful to me. And those sinners that seek mercy, the Lord will supply that need. And he'll have mercy upon you just as he did the publican. Oh yes. And not only did he have mercy upon him, but the Lord removed all his sin. So he could go down to his house justified. Rather than the other. A person that's justified is as though they've never sinned. You think how wonderful. That's how he went to his house. As though he'd never sinned. They were so blotted out and so removed. And the Lord had so pardoned him of them all. There wasn't even the shadow of a spot found on him. Oh no. Such is the blessing, you see, that the Lord gives to these needy sinners. And then some of you may be in deep need of the Lord giving to give you strength in two ways. You need it in body, and you need it in soul. As we looked at on Thursday, concerning Moses, how the trials that he had to walk through wore him right down. But you know, the Lord was to supply his need and give him that strength. Oh, he was. So he could go on. There's some beautiful promises, really, if I may just name one or two, concerning what the Lord will give to his weak people. Weaklings, the hymn writer said, have the victory won. When I am weak, the Apostle Paul said, then am I strong. And those that need strengthening of body will be dependent upon the Lord to give them that strength. Oh yes. I know that if the Lord didn't give me strength of voice, I could never preach. And I've known times where I haven't been able to say a word and yet gone in the pulpit and the Lord has given me the speech to preach. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. But oh, you think of this promise. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You may have got some heavy loads upon you today, poor soul. And you say, Lord, how can I carry them? He'll give you strength. Oh, he will. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And the apostle knew what it was, out of weakness, to need that strength. Are you in need of it today? But think of it in your soul. When he strengthens us, what do we read in the Psalms? Thou strengthenest us with strength in our souls. A strengthening word, a strengthening sermon, a strengthening hymn for the child of God, the Lord sweetly applied, and you go in the strength of it. Think of Elijah. After he came, as he came out from under the juniper tree, what did the Lord do? He went in the strength of that meat after the angel of God had appeared for 40 days and 40 nights. He went in the strength of it. Do you know what it is when there may be the text on the Lord's day and it's such a strength to you, it carries you through the week. It may carry you many days, many weeks. The natural man cannot fathom that out at all or understand it because they're ignorant of it. But those souls that walk through it and know what it is for the Lord to fulfill it. Oh yes. It carries the sinner. And then he knows the need we have when we need his help. I love that couplet of the hymn. When most, think of it, we need his help in hand, this friend is always near with heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. You know, there's no helper like the Lord to his dear children. What do we sing in another hymn? Their helper still is God. And then you will know what it is when the Lord does help you. Oh, you will. You go into Psalm 28. What does the psalmist say? And I am helped. You may not get anything particularly for your soul. You go out of the house of God and there's one thing you can say, and I'm helped. And that doesn't come just out of lip or word. It comes out of the sinner's heart. And they know what it is for the Lord to help them. Go back to the promise, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. He didn't say maybe, or you could do this and that and then the Lord will help you. No. This soul that's in real need has a heavenly Father to help them. And help them in the road. But then I would bring it in another way, just briefly. It's right we should help each other in the road, not hinder. You know, the devil will do all he can to hinder us. And man will do all they can to hinder the child of God. And the Lord's people left to themselves will do all they can to hinder them. But it's right we should help each other in the road. You think of the Apostle Paul, when he said, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. There were those, you know, around the dear Apostle that were a great help to him. Solemn thing, if we are a hindrance to any of God's dear children, that often exercises me much. In my poor attempts to preach, that I would never be a hindrance to the seeking, longing child of God. And then in times of need, when you see this one in need and that one in need, oh, to help them in the road. Pray for them. Practically help them. Many ways we can help each other. Solemn if we're a hindrance. And I don't know why I name that, but you know, that really exercises me. May we never be a hindrance to a real child of God, or to the young or old for that matter. For your heavenly Father. Well, I see the time's gone really, but may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this precious word. It's not my word, it's the words of the dear Redeemer to needy sinners. Do you come in with that at all this afternoon? A needy sinner. Lord, I'm such a needy sinner. I need thee in so many ways. I need thee to undertake for me. I need thee to teach me. I need thee to uphold me. I need thee to keep me from sinning. I need thee to keep me tender at thy dear feet, humbled in the dust. Well, this word is comprehensive for your heavenly Father, not somebody else. It comes home personally to the child of God. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, things I may not have even named this afternoon, but they are known to the Lord, all these things. The devil may say, oh, but he doesn't include this and he doesn't include that. You can go back to the devil and you can say, the Lord said all these things. The small things as well as the great. And then we need him in the hour of death when we go down into Jordan, won't we? And we need him as we've never needed him before. But oh, to have your Heavenly Father with you in the swellings of Jordan to land your soul with God.